Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, when you're up on the mountain, the talk comes so easy. When life's at its best, now it's down in the valley. Trials and temptations, that's where you'll face. Put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good
thank you.
Amen, amen. Well, he is the God of the mountains, and he is the God of the valley. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what a mighty God. You know, sometimes we think that God's done with miracles and wonders and signs, and that's just not true. That's not true. I met a young lady who was of a Bible study, and I'll tell that story. But first, I'd like to thank our guests and our listeners. We have with us tonight a special guest, Joseph Gibson, Andrew Ranhosky, Lewis Brackett, and, you know, the wonderful, wonderful brother D.L., Spirit-filled. He's going to join us in we get to the intermission call-in period time. We want to thank Brother Nathan. We want to thank our guests around the world who are connected tonight by the internet and by the telephone. We certainly appreciate you coming in and joining us tonight. We have a special, special program. It's outside of our normal sound doctrine type of teaching. It was by special request. So many people demanded that we bring back Brother Gibson and that we come back and touch on this subject of the New World Order. And so we've done that, and we went and we found an expert panel to bring upon the air and to give you all some wisdom and some knowledge. As we say down south, we can get some learning. Amen. And but the truth is that, you know, God, we serve a mighty God. And I met a young lady who sent me an x-ray of her broken foot that she had been walking on for 6 months. She had an operation, and the screws melted, and the foot never healed. And she had been walking on it for about 6 months. It was broken, and she went in for surgery, and the doctor, you know, closed her back up and told her that that bone had already started growing back together. And that's prayer. I saw the x-rays. Amen? You know, this isn't Benny Hinn. I saw the x-rays. And praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God. Let's have a prayer here, and then we'll get started. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you, God, and we thank you for your mercy, your kindness. We thank you for the wonders, the blessings, for bringing us safe here again, for sending us those people that you've sent us from around the world, in Europe and in Africa and South America and North America and even across the globe. It's just a wonderful thing, Father, how you've connected us, and we just praise you for it, and we thank you. We ask you, God, that you'd set aside our flesh tonight, Lord, that everything would be done decently in order, that you would receive the glory, the praise, and the honor, that we would touch hearts, change minds, and bring somebody out there, somebody who needs Jesus Christ to the cross. Amen. I'd like to read tonight a little bit out of the book of Daniel, and I'm not going to be long in Scripture. But we'll talk about the same place we left off, kind of, with the last time we talked about the New World Order. And to understand that in prophecy, and there's just so many prophecies on it that we really could not spend an hour and a half, 2 hours just reading and completing a complete reading of the prophecy. So I thought I'd go over to the book of Daniel, and if you have your Bibles this evening, and you go over to the book of Daniel chapter 2, verse 31, and those of you who are familiar with it, and I'm sure many of you are, you're doing a good job, go on over to verse 31, but Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, he has a dream, and in that dream he saw something. He saw a great image. And Daniel, who is the third person in that kingdom, a representative or a type of the Holy Spirit of God, he interprets the dream. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He interprets for us, including the Scriptures. What it says over in verse 31, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible." It was a great image. And, you know, it's going to give the history of the course of the Gentiles. Its brightness was excellent. In other words, it was filled. If you saw it, it would fill you with awe. And the form thereof was terrible. It's inspired. It inspires, you know, terror to an individual to see it. Verse 32 says, "The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay." His feet part iron and part clay. Amen. And then you go down a little bit further. "And thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass, the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away. that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. A great mountain. And a great mountain in the Bible is representative of a great kingdom. Isaiah 2:2-3 says, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. And Micah 4:1-2. And you find that's the millennium reign of Christ, that mountain. So this image is going to be interpreted by Daniel as kingdoms. And if you follow them on a map, these kingdoms would have gone from the east to the west. And that's the movement of history, from east to west. Abraham came out of the east, he went west. And so the first kingdom is Babylon. It's the farthest east and the last. And when we go into this, you get to the 10 toes, those 10 confederated nations. They're the farthest west. And so we have a degeneration. We have a digression. We do not have Darwinism. We do not have an evolution. We are devolving. And it starts with that magnificent gold, and it ends in the iron and clay. And verse 37 says, if you look down here, he gives the interpretation. He says, this is the dream, and we'll tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou art king, or king of kings, for the king of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, has he given into thine hand, and has made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And so that head of gold was the Babylonian kingdom. And then, the next portion of that was after that kingdom, you have the breasts and the arms in verse 32, which are silver. And that's Media Persia, the Media Persian Empire. And it lasts from 536 to 530 B.C., about 206 years. And then as we go down this statute, as we're moving along, you get to the legs. You come down all the way down to the legs. And the legs itself are representative of the Roman Empire. Because we know that the Roman Empire, if you studied the seven churches, we know that the Roman Empire split from east to west. And so we have that split in the empire. And in Ezra, we talked about that in our studies. We talked about Artaxerxes. We talked about the Persian Empire ends. We talked about the Grecian Empire, which began in 330 B.C. And we talked about Alexander the Great. And then we got to that fourth kingdom, which is as strong as iron. And if you look down there in verse 40, it says, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And bruise. And so this is that east to west. There's that split east to west. And if you look at verse 40, again, it says the fourth kingdom is strong as iron, see? And so we're talking about 100 B.C. to 500 A.D. It's, it's a Republican monarchy with a Senate and a Caesar. And a Caesar, he didn't have absolute power, but the legs of iron signify that this is strength within the nation. And at some point, there's a division seen by the legs of iron from east to west. And the last emperor to rule over a united Roman Empire was Theodosius in 395 A.D. After 395, you got a divided Roman Empire with an emperor over the eastern and another over the western. And then verse 41 says, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. So part clay, part iron. It's going to be a government, a democratic socialism. It has a strength in it, but it has a mixture of miry clay, something that is easily molded. And then finally, when we get to verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Amen. Amen. So you have at the bottom of this statute, from we've gone from that beautiful, magnificent goal which represented Nebuchadnezzar down to these 10 toes, which in truth they represent the New World Order. They'll make up the Confederated States, probably, of Europe, from which the Antichrist will come. And this is the subject that we're talking about today. You know, clay is man-made. It's made from the dust, iron mixed with clay. They'll mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another. So during the time of Antichrist, you're going to get a Mongol race of human beings. That's what you end up with. And history repeats itself. And if you don't think so, write these verses down. Genesis 6, 1 and 2, Job 1, 6, 2, 1, 38, 7. The sons of God are angels. Amen. So history has gone by, and you're down to the 10 toes, and these kings, you're getting down to the time God's going to set up his kingdom, and that kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that will be it as far as man is concerned, with man ruling over man. The Lord will begin to rule over man. But the stone that smote the image, this kingdom which shall be destroyed, the stone doesn't break the head, doesn't break the chest or arms, it doesn't break the legs, it breaks the toes. The image is a representation of all of mankind until Christ sets up his kingdom. After destroying the Confederate European 10-kingdom nation, the feet are destroyed and the whole thing is destroyed. And it won't be again. And the stone that's cut out of the mountain without hands, that stone is Jesus Christ, Genesis 49:1. The first reference to the last days. And so what we wanted to talk about tonight is that new world order, and how it applies spiritually, doctrinally, physically, and we have some opinions about it from some people here. But I have to make a couple disclaimers because Enterprisement Media is not responsible for the opinions of myself or anybody else on this program, and they're not necessarily in agreement. And we are live, and so sometimes things can get passionate and things can be said that aren't necessarily should have been said. And so we must be careful on how we're bringing forth the Word of God. And the second thing is that Sound Doctrine broadcast by Dr. Ventura, I take some responsibility for bringing these men together, and their opinions is not necessarily my opinion, and my opinion is not necessarily theirs. Having said that, I'd like to first introduce Brother Joseph Gibson, and I'd like to give each of these men an opportunity to tell us a little bit about themselves before we start this conversation. Brother Gibson?
Well, my name is Joseph Gibson. I live in North Carolina, and I've studied this subject in great depth, and I've gone over much material, and have been to seminars, have been to many meetings, especially about the destruction of America and what's to come. And I've worked for the criminal government in the state of Connecticut. And if anyone wants to know in depth really what my workings were, there was a book written about the two murder attempts on my life. And that book's called Behind the Walls, written by Joel Hodnett, and that's on Amazon.com. And there is federal court transcripts in there and documentation of what I went through. And I have firsthand experience with, the corruption of the United States government.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Brother Andrew?
Yes. This is Brother Andrew speaking from Chester, South Carolina, way down south here. And I've been listening to Dr. Ventura talk here, and it's a wonderful thing that he brings forth. And my travels have been from Canada all the way down the coast over the years, down into Florida, preaching the Word of God. And I am now ordained with the Assemblies of God International Fellowship, which is a wonderful, wonderful organization. We get together once or twice a year, at least twice a year, in different parts of the country, and I think one place is in San Diego. And you get to meet all these wonderful people from all different ministries, missions that they've had overseas. They come from all over. And you get to know what's really going on other than what you hear in the news, And I can well understand the government order. I think it was well put here how things are and will be. But the main thing I tell people is this. God is still in control of all we see. Over the centuries, we've heard every time something really big happens, where it's a catastrophe for sure, all over the world, the Lord is coming soon. He's coming soon, and it doesn't happen. And I'm not going to say it's not going to happen now. With all the information that has gone from the Bible to tell us that the time, not exactly the time, not even the Son knows the time, the Son of God. But what we have to do to keep working for the Lord Jesus, if you're a servant of the Lord as I am, and my wife has been on missionary work all over the world also, and but the thing is to stay together and remember. Most of the time, you're going to hear all kinds of things from people that say, oh, I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in God, and I don't believe in that. Well, you have to remember that the Lord cast out Satan, a third of his angels, to hear. And Satan is in control, and that's what he puts in our minds, that things cannot be accomplished. But he can't read your mind, you see?
Amen.
You can put things into your mind, and if you suck up to that, you're going to be mighty sorry in the end. But God is in control, and all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So don't give up, folks. Read Ezekiel 33:6, and this world order is a thing coming up. We'll talk more about it. Okay, Joseph, go ahead.
Amen. Brother Lewis, let me bring in Brother Lewis.
All right.
Okay, Lewis Brackett in San Diego, California, and I've lived here for, good grief, 30-some years at least. When I was in seventh grade, I had one of those extraordinary history teachers who really turned me on to the ancient world, and ever since, you know, I've studied a huge amount, everything I could read about history from the very first Mesopotamia, of course, through the Persians and the Romans and all of the empires of history. And of just absolutely fascinated by that, and then when in my late 20s, in the late 1970s, the Lord reached out and touched me, and I realized that the Bible actually is an extraordinary history book, and it is so incredibly accurate. For many centuries, people ridiculed the Bible. I said, well, that king didn't exist, or that kingdom, come on, guys, you don't really. But then through archaeology and the various writings they have found it is true. It really is true. And one of the most amazing things from the ancient world is the book of Daniel. Like Brother Peter said, it accurately foretold every single event of Alexander's Greek Empire to the point that the whole world was astounded by it. And the three wise men we hear about in the Gospels, I'm sure they had read it extensively, and they knew that for the great king that was come, the king of Israel to come, he had to be born maybe 30 or 40 years before that, so they were watching. And lo and behold, this magical or mystical or super, I think a supernatural star appeared. They said, wow, in that constellation dealing with the Hebrews, they said, wow, we have to go to Jerusalem to see that new king, the king of the Jews, been born. So that's where, you know, the book of Daniel takes off as far as, you know, fulfilling the 490-year prophecy.
Amen.
So I've been absolutely amazed by all of that thing for many years now. Brother Peter.
All right, brother. Well, I thank you very much. Brother Lewis is also, he's authored some books and some things, and he's just being modest. But I'd like to swing this whole conversation back to Brother Joseph. And Brother Joseph, I'd like to ask you this evening, you know, we've had many conversations about this, and I'm going to let you take it from your perspective, where you'd like to take it, with regard to this upcoming and new world order, and what you believe the Christian position ought to be.
Well, like we talked about last time, you know, many Christians are totally unprepared for the tribulation. Now we can get into a discussion about the rapture and when it's going to occur, or if we're going to be raptured out of here before the Antichrist appears on the scene. But, you know, what my main concern and what Christians should be worried about is we live today in the land of deception. And you have all these churches, don't worry about the New World Order. You shouldn't concern yourself about these types of things. You should just cooperate with the government, Romans 13. They throw that one in your face. And, you know, most of the pastors are on the clergy response team. They work for FEMA. They're getting paid by the government to say these things. You know, but what we should be really concerned about is, in my opinion, and through what I have studied, we will be here through the tribulation. And in the last half hour of the tribulation, God will pour out his wrath. And then we will be raptured out of here. Now, Christians should be concerned about, like I said, deception. And what we have right now, of course, is the economy crashing. And it's going to crash. And no one is prepared or ready. They're too busy walking around in suit and ties, holding a Bible in their hand, and worried about how much money their church is going to bring in. And, you know, the pastors, like I just stated, you know, the ones that are telling me this, where I've had previous conversations in the past, you know, they've got a $45,000 pickup truck in the parking lot, a $250,000 brick building that they call their church, and they're telling me, don't worry, you know, so what's the agenda here? What's going on? You know, so, but what we have to concern ourselves with is preparing ourselves to basically do battle with the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to overcome the saints, okay? It clearly states that in Scripture, only for a short time. Now, I don't know where you stand on that, Peter.
I believe this. Positionally, I stand on the Scriptures. And the Scriptures say that the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, is not appointed unto wrath. And so the tribulation is a time of wrath. The book of Revelation says that Antichrist pours...
Tribulation, we will suffer tribulation. The rapture was never taught. The rapture,
We can't have a conversation, brother, if you're going to not allow me to expound, and then after you speak, I have to speak. If we both speak, at least allow me to draw out my position so that then you can feel free to attack it any way you want.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The rapture was taught, and it was taught by the Lord, number one. It was taught by the apostles, and number two, it's the Scriptures. Paul clearly taught that we are not to be appointed to wrath. And in the tribulation is the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of God, and the wrath of the devil that's poured out. And so there is a specific timeline within the Bible. And I've often heard them say, you know, well, C.I. Schofield and J.N. Darby, they were the first dispensationalists, and that's not true. The Bible has natural divisions. The Bible is divided, and 2 Timothy 2:15, which every new Bible changes, says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. You must be able to rightly divide it. All the new Bibles change that verse because they don't want you to know you have to rightly divide it. But the Bible is divided into seven, or some people will say eight dispensations, and each dispensation ends in a judgment. When your first dispensation, the dispensation of innocence, which goes in the Garden of Eden and ends with them being expelled, and then you have the diluvian. You have the dispensation of conscience, and it ends up with the flood, and then you have human government, and you end up with law, and then you end up with grace. And each dispensation shows an attribute of God, and each dispensation and each feast of Israel must line up with the prophecies, and if they don't, then you're out of order, you see. So it wasn't dispensations, and dispensationalism was not something that was begun by C.I. Schofield. C.I. Schofield put it in the notes of his Bible, and those who are opposed to dispensations, who can't clearly rightly divide their Bible, they're the ones that are having the problem with it. My second problem with this is that, as far as you're saying that people should be prepared, well, I think people should be always prepared for every emergency, no doubt. We should always be prepared for emergency. You should always have things in your home that you would need to survive any disaster. At some point, I have to ask myself, well, do I have the power to change the prophecy of God? I mean, is that what you're saying, that we need to change the prophecy of God, that Antichrist is coming? We know there's a new world order coming, and we know that you and I are powerless to stop it. We can defend ourselves. Wouldn't you be fighting against God?
No, of course not. That's silly. So let's all stand on a lily pad in a warehouse and wear white robes and say it's of the Lord, and let's not worry about the things that happen in our country today or around the world, because we have no control over it. God doesn't give us free will,
no.
And there's not going to be any awakening, and the founding fathers shouldn't have done what they done. Hang on now, let me finish.
Yeah,
so let's just it's of the Lord, and we can't worry about nothing. We'll just live our day-to-day lives. And if we try to better ourselves, better our community, or even what our founding fathers did by having a revolution, which that's what we're going towards, a civil war in this country, we should not partake in that whatsoever. And what they did was just they were terrorists. That was wrong what they did, because it's of the Lord. And where in the Bible is it taught that we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation? What scripture? Are you going to point to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13, 14, 15, and 16? It does not say anywhere in there that we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation. And if you're going to say that the book of Matthew is directed only towards the Jew, well, then let's go over to the book of Mark, Mark 13, 37. Jesus said, I say this unto you all, okay?
Well, in Mark 13:37, Jesus Christ wasn't even crucified yet, so he couldn't be talking to any Christians, number one. And number two, here's the second problem, Joe, yeah, and I want to turn this over to Andrew for a second in a minute here, but I want to say this. One thing I'm sure of is, and I want you to be clear on this, my wife Marilyn, whom I love, is a 20-year Navy veteran. I'm a Navy veteran, and I'm a patriot in my country. I love my country. I may not appreciate, the people running. Dr. Ruckman says America's an insane asylum run by the inmates, but I love my country. And so, but I also believe this. I believe that we cannot legislate morals. If you're going to change your community and you're going to change your government, then you need to change them through Jesus Christ. I believe that. Or you end up with the same product over and over again. But let me bring this over to Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew, you still with us?
Oh, yeah, indeed. How are you?
Good, brother.
I'm still with you. And I believe it's Mr. Gibson was just talking.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Gibson. What I firmly believe in as an evangelist, a servant of the Lord, is that more preaching should be done on the cross. If you go to Isaiah 53, the Messiah's death predicted, it says on the caption above verse 1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, or when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected." Now I'll stop there. I just mentioned before I read that there was more preaching on the cross. Isaiah 53 tells everything of what Jesus will go through when the Lord sends him. And I believe that was, 700 years before Jesus came. But, Mr. Gibson, listen. Just hear my words if you can. I know there's a world order out there. I write articles for our local paper and one up in Rock Hill, South Carolina, ever since President Obama took office. And I know precisely where you're coming from, Mr. Gibson. I could say more now, but I won't. But the thing is, right now, God is in control. How is God in control? He's in control through our prayers. Go to your knees and I shall restore your land for you. You see, this is where the prayer comes into this. So strong that he says, this is the thing to do. And now, Mr. Gibson, if you've heard the news lately, things are changing. Things are changing up there, that the website that they put out couldn't go, all right? And it probably will never go by the 30th of this month. But what I'm saying, God is still in control. And the cross, do you believe in Jesus coming? Now, here, 700 years before Jesus came, in Isaiah, it's all about him coming. Do you believe that Jesus came and died on the cross, and the third day he resurrected? Over 500 people saw him. So what Jesus puts in his Bible here for us, this is the best book ever written on the bestseller list for close to 2,000 years. You can't go wrong with it. You can't take one verse here and say, well, that's what that means, and not figure it out what's going on through the whole thing.
What do we do when the tribulation begins and we're not raptured out of here? Are you prepared?
Who's talking?
I am.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
What do we do? Well, I believe this. I'm not going to get worried about that. I am going to continue to do God's work until I believe we're taken out before the tribulation.
Okay.
Definitely taken out before the tribulation.
Okay.
And then we shall be put on earth on earth here, and a thousand years later, Satan will be released by the Lord. And when he's released, he'll put him away forever. But you must believe in the cross and that God has control. But nevertheless, go to Ezekiel 33 where he speaks to the Jews. He's letting them. He's the watchman. And if the watchman doesn't tell the people, like I do, there's plenty of Jews in our country, all right, all through it. If I don't let them know, I have to report to the Lord God when I could go. So I'm not concerned about this and that. I know the people behind in the, where they want to take over the whole country and so forth and so on, or the world. I know what you're talking about, Mr. Gibson. And it is true. I grant you that 100%. It is true. But to do nothing else is wrong. And God says that. We have to be servants of the Lord, believe in his word, go to Isaiah 53, read the whole thing. Go to Daniel, like Dr. Peter said, and read and understand and ask God to open your eyes more so to his word, other than trying to put one over here and one place over here and one place over here. You're not coming up with the right thing.
Well, I think this
I've wrote almost 80, 90 articles for these different newspapers on our president right now.
The president doesn't run the country, okay? Obama doesn't run the country, and George Bush, all these supporters of George Bush. You know,
yes.
I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. Listen, the international bankers own both parties, okay? They bought you the day you were born. The Federal Reserve runs this country, the Federal Reserve system, okay? The money that you hold in your pocket, your fake paper money, your receipts, that's when this country was hijacked in the year 1913, and they crowned it a success in 1933 when they put their pyramid on it, okay? So Obama, everyone criticizes Obama. Obama's only doing what he's told. Okay,
George Bush
is an evil, evil man. George, the Bush family was an evil, evil family. They should all be arrested. Okay, the Bushes should be arrested. The last president we had, and as a matter of fact, it's good that we're talking about this. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary. The last president who tried to take back America had his head blown off. Okay, and not by Lee Harvey Oswald either. It was his driver that was, turn around and finish them off. That was John F. Kennedy. And that's because he tried to restore sound money to America. So, I don't know why you're criticizing Obama, because Obama really has nothing to do with the inner workings of the United States.
Who's behind Obama?
who's behind Obama?
Who pours millions of dollars into the ACLU? Can you give me the name, sir?
What do you mean the name? George Soros and all those characters, Warren Buffett,
yeah.
Ted Turner, yeah. All those guys who are the elite who really run this world, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. Those are the organizations that really run this world, and they believe they're going to live forever through their eugenics program, because they believe by ushering in a new world order, and that's where a lot of people don't really understand the new world. They don't understand what the purpose is. And, you know, the purpose of the new world order is really these elite people who hate us. They hate liberty, and they believe that the world should have a population of 500 million people, and they believe they're going to live forever if they can have their new world order. But yes, God has a different plan, and God will prevail. You know, we know that.
Amen. Amen. But I need to interject, Joe.
Yep, go ahead.
Joe, I need to, it's only fair that we give Brother Lewis an opportunity to respond to all this.
Okay.
Well, yes, thank
Praise
you.
Praise the Lord.
I think I would like to point out something from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 3, it says, in the King James, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Well, a couple of years ago, I found out that all the previous Bibles, the word falling away was actually poorly translated. It really is departure, for the departure will come first. And we look at the context of that. I wrote a transliteration commentary on the first three verses. And what it says in the Lewis version, which I believe accurately transliterates that, it says, now we earnestly ask you, our friends, according to the coming of Jesus at the rapture, that you not be deceived by any letter supposedly from us, saying that we had missed the rapture and that the tribulation and the second coming of Christ is soon. Don't be deceived, for the second coming of Jesus will not come until the departure of the church and the rapture, followed by the revealing of the Antichrist, the man inherent, indwelt by Satan, who exalts himself above God, or is worshipped as God. This man will sit in the newly rebuilt temple, showing himself that he is God. The whole context of the book of 2 Thessalonians, the previous several verses, is that they were terrified. Someone had sent them a letter saying, you missed the rapture. And they said, no. I told you that the rapture would not happen until just before the man of sin is revealed, and then followed by the tribulation. So 2 Thessalonians 2 actually is, in my humble opinion, one of the ironclad proofs that from the original language that the rapture will be before the Antichrist is revealed. Now, there are many who would say that at the beginning of the tribulation, the seven-year period, that he is only one of many people who will agree to this great seven-year covenant, and that's quite true. Many people may not even know who he is until finally, because of the chaos that the world leaders will, for 3.5 years, give him the power, you know, to rule as the Antichrist, as a one world ruler, from that period of time. And that's where some of the pre-wrath and mid-trib people get it, you know, understand that. But my understanding of 2 Thessalonians is that because of that and because of Daniel 9, that the rapture, in my humble opinion, would be before the seven-year tribulation period.
Amen.
Of course, I told Brother Peter and a lot of people, tongue-in-cheek, I'm a pan-tribber. If I'm wrong and I see it all happening, I say, oh, my, I guess I better, knuckle down and do what I can to preach the gospel despite all that's coming. But, you know,
Amen.
By my
you,
almost 40 years of study on the
Word.
I want to thank you. Hold on, fellas. I have Brother D.L., I believe, in the background. Brother D.L., you on?
Praise the Lord. How you doing, sir?
Amen. Brother DL's a special guest. I called him just before the show, and he didn't even know what this show was about tonight. And I said, Brother DL, I said, sometimes a brother come to you for some wisdom. And I said, I have a great panel of people coming on tonight. It's a very interesting program. And I'll let Brother DL tell you just a little bit about himself. And then I'd like to hear his opinion. And then we have to go to a commercial. And we have to give people an opportunity to call in who would like to speak with us. And if nobody decides to call in, that's fine. You know, we usually get texts and emails and things, and we answer questions later. But should they call in, we'll take those in order. And we'll keep the progress of this program going. We're gonna. This is special. We're gonna run this till 10:30 Eastern time, and 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. So there's plenty of time here, and we don't have to chomp on each other. I want to give everybody an opportunity. I think it's an extraordinary show. I think the things that we're hearing are extraordinary, and the variety of information. So, Brother DL, would you take a few minutes, just tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll hear from you, and then I'm going to go to a commercial break.
Praise the Lord. Brother DL, also known as Faith Walker, formerly pastored Community First Church in Bluffton, South Carolina. And now I'm a minister at New Covenant Church in Greenpoint, South Carolina Fellowship. I'm a premillennial dispensationalist, if you want to kind of put me in the aspect of scripture. I'm also a futurist, and I just believe in rightly dividing the word of truth. I come out of none other than the 1611 King James Version. So I would just listen to your conversation, and I was just taking everything in concerning the tribulation and just concerning everything that was brought forth. Romans chapter 11 also tells us that, the mystery of the blindness is for Israel. And so we know that, that the mystery of the blindness, according to Israel, it was just for the church to be at the state where it's at now, to our knowledge, saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, in the tribulation, we know that the tribulation is designed for the Jews, to come to the knowledge of who Christ is. You notice in the book of Revelation, the church is nowhere in sight. Jesus said in the book of John that I go prepare a place for you. And he likened the church into his bride. But then Paul come right back in the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians, amen. And book of Ephesians, he's talking about without spot nor blemish as far as the church, which is the bride of Christ. So Christ is not going to allow his bride to go through any abuse, just like you wouldn't allow your wife to go through any abuse, and you're not there to protect, just, for being obedient and submissive to you. So I'm kind of listening, think it's a good dialogue, and I'm just listening and just here to be support.
Well, I thank you, brother. I thank you. Let's take a couple minutes here, and I'll give the phone number to the station. This phone number is 347-945-5416, and you can call that number. You press 1, and you get into the host station. Nathan's on the switchboard. He'll be glad to get you through to us. If you think we're throwing the hands too much and you want to step back and just listen, that's fine. We enjoy your company. We appreciate you being with us. And the number is 347-945-5416. And you can reach me at Nathan on the Spot, Outlook.com, or you can reach me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. My personal number is 203-240-0377. That's my cell. I'm available to take your calls. If you can't get through to the station, please feel free to call, and I'll try and help you out. And we'll go back now. I'd like to go back to Brother Joseph.
Yes.
You still with
yes.
us, Brother Joseph?
Yes. Well, nobody's answered my question. Where does it say that we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation? Where does it say that? I mean, I know in Revelation 6:13-14, it tells us when God's wrath will be poured upon us, which is the last half hour of the tribulation, when the sun and moon are darkened. That's when God's wrath. But all through the Bible, we go through tribulation. Paul tells us we're going through tribulation. We're supposed to rejoice through our tribulation. So where does it say we're going to be raptured out of here before tribulation.
You have to use the word tribulation in its proper context. In the world, you'll have tribulation. That's not the great tribulation. Such great tribulation, Matthew talks about. Great. There's a difference between tribulation. We all have tribulation. I've been suffering allergies. That's a tribulation. That's not the tribulation. You must keep the word in context. When Paul says he'll send Timothy, and Timothy will tell you all about all his affairs, all is not necessarily all. He's not going to say, hey, listen, he used five handy wipes too. You see? And so we get into this Bible and we start studying it. You have to study it as one book, congruity. You know, in order to find, for instance, Joseph, and I know you're familiar with this, but it's an ideal point. If I want to find out what the accusation that was written on the cross of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to get it out of Matthew. I'm not going to get it out of Mark. I'm not going to get it out of Luke. I'm not going to get it out of John. I have to read all four books to find out what the accusation said. And so God has progressive revelation in his Bible. And so we don't guess it. We see it. We know that's what the accusation says because it's given from four different standpoints, four different eyewitnesses to the accusation. And so you have to understand the timeline and the purpose of God in the Jewish people. It was the Jewish people who were the nation of Israel who was to bring the Messiah to the Gentiles. And so when you go from the Old Testament to the cross, they have a choice and they choose to reject Jesus Christ. And when they choose to reject Jesus Christ, he turned to the Gentiles. But there's a time and a period coming when he's going to turn that back. Okay? And so the timeline has changed. It should have been from the Old Testament to the cross. Jesus still has to go to the cross. Even if they accept him as his Messiah, as their Messiah, he still has to go to the cross. Christ goes to the cross. The tribulation begins immediately for 7 years. See how that works? But what happened is that timeline changes based upon the rejection of the Jews, of Jesus Christ. And when you go to Isaiah 61:1-2, and the Lord talks about the day of vengeance, and he quotes that in the book of Luke, between that comma at the end of the verse, he doesn't tell you about the day of vengeance, because the day of vengeance is postponed according to the time that the Gentiles or the age of grace is set in there by 2,000 years or so, you see? And so why didn't Jesus quote that whole verse? Why doesn't he quote Isaiah 61:1-2 in its entirety when he quotes it in the book of Luke? He doesn't quote it because prophetically he already knows they're not going to accept him. You see, when you study the book of John, you find the day number one, John the Baptist preaching. Day number two, John the Baptist preaching. Day number three, there's a wedding in heaven. Don't we know there's a wedding in heaven? The age of grace is 2,000 years. See, Christ has given you this so many different ways in your Bible that you couldn't miss it with a circus spotlight. When you see when Jesus comes and he goes to that woman in Samaria. Hold on one second.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hold on one moment, please.
All right. And so what I'm saying is when Jesus Christ comes from the Judea, he goes into Samaria. And the disciples say, you know, what is he doing in Samaria? What's he doing in Samaria? We don't have any dealings with the Samaritans, see? But he spends 2 days there, representative of that 2,000 years. Where did he go? He came from the Jews, went to the Gentiles, goes back to the Jews. He goes up to Galilee. And so over and over, repetitively, throughout the whole Bible, you see that time. And where you say in Matthew, it doesn't say anything about the tribulation, or rather it doesn't say it applies to the church, to the tribulation, you have to understand that Christ hadn't even gone to the cross yet. He told them about the Sabbath day. We as Christians do not obey the Sabbath Saturday of a Jew. And so you have to look at that thing in its proper context. If you start taking these things out of the totality of it, you see the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, in the book of Genesis. What did Abel do? Right? Right? Didn't he kill the Lamb? Cover him with
the
skin?
The Bible means what it says and says what it means. I understand that, okay? And I understand that you have to start in the beginning. You know, when you read a book, you don't, you know, take one verse or one page or one chapter. You start from the beginning and go to the end. But, you know, the subject here is the coming New World Order. And we as Christians are not prepared. We have no clue what is going on. There is so much deception out there. And a lot of it is because Christians are not aware of the truth. And we were just talking earlier about deception. And the deception is like we're talking about Obama earlier. We shouldn't concern ourselves about Obama or George, or this Republican Democrat, because if you were a real Christian, if you were a true Christian, you would know that the United States after the Reconstruction Act, if you knew U.S. history, that the United States is a corporation, okay? And if you knew that, the United States is a corporation, and if you're partaking as a corporate member, as a United States corporate citizen, and participating in this evil system, this anti-system that is being set up right before our very eyes, then you should be ashamed of yourself as a Christian. You should repent.
Well, let me ask you this, brother. We're not called to be isolationists, number one. Number two, the same question came up in a different way with Jesus Christ. The question came up when Jesus was at the door, and they said to him, he asked them, whose inscription's on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. The Apostle Paul said when it was time to kill him, he told them, if I did anything wrong by the law, then kill me. By the law.
Okay, well, we don't have Caesar
so,
in the United
so
States.
So you and I are not going to change the prophecy of this Bible. The New World Order will come. It will be established, and it will perform the perfection that God wants it to. And you and I are not going to stop it. What our job is to do is to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring as many souls as we can before this tribulation occurs, before the rapture occurs, because after that, the church isn't going to be here.
Are you?
If you're saying we're supposed to arm up and everybody get in a bunker and wait for the New World Order, well, how will I serve the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you say that I'm not to participate in the New World Order, well, my friend, you can't live out what you're saying, because you stop at every stop sign on the street, and that's part of the government. That's the law, and you stop there. So you're picking and choosing what laws you want to abide by and what part of the government you want to rebel about, right?
I stop at a sign because
you recognize the authority of the United States government.
Wait a second. If I go through a stop sign, we have to use common sense, and we're under common law.
You get a ticket.
No, because I can hurt somebody. And in common law, if you hurt someone, then you violated the law. Common law.
But
go
didn't
back
Jesus,
to Magna Carta.
Didn't Jesus tell you to obey the law of the land? There's many
lands. Okay.
Listen, even in Israel, before God brought them out, they had to obey the Pharaoh, and they were his chosen people.
Okay.
So
obey
what is
the
purpose of government? The purpose of government is to restrain sin.
So we're
that
supposed to kill children
government.
With our so we're supposed to participate
no.
in killing babies.
No,
well,
we're not supposed
when
to participate
support,
in
no,
it. Well, so are you wait. Every time you buy a piece of food, and you is according to you, and the money goes to the bank. Anytime you make a deposit, anytime your money comes up in some other, we're all institutionalized. It's all an institution, one way or the other. You cannot not participate
I'm,
in it.
I'm not
unless you shoot yourself.
Extreme. Yeah, I know, but I'm
you
not
know.
Talking extremes. You're talking absolutes here. Of course, when I walk into
a bank,
the
only absolutes I know of is the Bible. But hold on one second, Joe, because Andrew, we lost, and I want to see if he got back in. Brother Andrew, did you get back in? Brother Andrew? Hey, Nathan?
Hi. Did we lose
him? I'm calling him there now.
Okay, thank you.
I'll call. You want me to call him back?
Yeah, would you please? Because he just called me on another line and said that he just got dropped out.
Well,
he's disappointed.
I called that number, but he didn't answer. I tried him again.
All right. Hey, DL? Do we lose DL too?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, I didn't want to lose you.
How come everybody's getting lost?
Well, because you know we're out here in California, we're having very bad weather.
Oh, okay.
And there's weather patterns across
that, the radiation there. Storm from Fukushima.
Probably. Who knows? But Brother DL.
Yes, Yeah, I just wanted to say in Matthew chapter 24, I think what a lot of people do is in Matthew chapter 24, they say, well, in the 13th verse, he said, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So a lot of scholars, a lot of, you know, theologians, they like to say, well, you know, he that endured to the end, that means we're going to be in the trib and just we got to, you know, we just got to hold on tight. But, you know, we also know, according to the book of Revelation, the trib, if you don't take that mark of the beast, off goes your head. So it ain't going to be much endurance at that point. You know, so if this is in the, you understand what I'm saying? So if we're in the middle of the trib, enduring to the end, that means you're under the working of some type of system. You have to be under some type of system. So that means the law is back in place. It's no longer faith. See, with faith, you don't have to endure. In faith, you don't have to endure. You know, you just believe by faith, and then your faith will cause a certain work to be worked out in the physical manifestation. So that's as far as I like to take it, as far as, you know, the tribulation and as far as the New World Order. I mean, we know the Antichrist has a part to play, but according to the book of 1 John, he says that the spirit of the Antichrist is already among us. That spirit is still among us right now. It's just that manifestation in the physical body, the embodiment of Satan himself, it won't be here yet. So just wanted to touch on that.
Amen. Okay. Yeah. And is Brother Lewis still out there?
Oh, yes, I certainly am. I'd like to expound a little bit on that enduring to the end, if I may. I believe the main point of that was to the Christians throughout all the centuries that you know, they were up till, you know, the very end of their lives, they were to be faithful. And, of course, that applies also to our time, you know, right today. You know, we're supposed to have the best testimony that we have, that a person will look at us and say, wow, there's something different about that person. And, you know, I had one person in the shipyard. I you know, he saw my life for years, and he said, finally walked up to me one day and said, Lewis, I want to go to your church, you know, type of thing. And that was awesome. And, you know, we're supposed to endure to the end. We're supposed to be the great witness for Christ. Most people are too timid. And, in fact, I have a difficulty going up to an absolute stranger and trying to talk to them, but... So with the vast majority of people, it's our public testimony, how we live our lives, so that when they see us and they find out that we're believers, that they'll say, wow, there's something different about that person, and I want to be like that, you know, and they may even feel ashamed that, you know, that they're not, and that's a rebuke to them, and it's a testimony for Christ. The Word said that we're supposed to be a lamp on a hillside that everybody can see, and that if you have a light, you don't put it underneath the table. You put it out on top of the table where it can clearly be seen. So, you know, that's the type of enduring to the end that that was said. And Paul said we ought to run the race. And only those who finish will receive the prize. So, you know, we just continue finishing. We continue going on and on in the faith, and do the poor best we can, because even the best we can is poor, very poor, according to what, you know, the example of our Lord. So we just do the best that we can.
I'd like to interrupt you for a second, brother.
Sure.
I appreciate what you're saying. I'm just wondering, do we have Andrew back?
I'm back on it, baby. I'm back.
Amen, brother. Sorry about that. Yeah, you know, sometimes these phones are crazy. Joe had trouble last time, and a lot of people were trying to call in, couldn't get through the line, and sometimes it's just like that. You know, one time we were knocked clean off the air where there were so many calls at one point.
Uh-huh.
And who could figure it out? You're using, you know, Blog Talk Radio. But, you know, the devil's in the mix always. But what I'd like to do is this, and why we have the time, because I don't want to steal time from Joseph. You know, Joe's one of the you know, main reasons the public had asked. They wanted to hear from Joe. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And I want to say I respect each and every one of you, and I respect your opinion. This is America. You know, you can believe whatever you want to believe. But, you know, we don't have to believe what you believe, and you don't have to believe what I believe. That's the great thing about this country. You know, Islam is a little different. You either pay the poll tax, believe or die. I mean, that's religious freedom there. But, we still have some religious freedom here, what's left to it. And but what I'd like to do at this point, I think, is I'd like to ask Joe, and then I would repeat that question to each and every person here, Lewis and DL and Andrew and myself. And the question is this. This is the question that and I'm not going to go into prophecy and say, can you change prophecy? Because God's plan's all set. It doesn't matter what we do. There's going to be a new world order. But, you know, it's positionally whether you're here or you're not, I guess. So my question to you, Joe, is this. And I pose this question to everybody on this panel. What should a Christian's position be at this point? And if, you know, we've got about six of us on here. If we all take 5 minutes, that'll bring us to about, you know, almost to the end of the show. But I'm curious, and then they can respond to what they think their position should be. But what should our position be, do you believe, as Christian men and citizens of our country?
Well, what should we be concerned about, or what should we be doing as Christians to combat the New World Order, or what should we? Well, I mean, what? That's a loaded question. What can you narrow it
well,
down
I think,
just a little bit?
Sure, and I think this. I think that when we say to combat the New World Order, the problem is that we cannot combat the New World Order any more than we could combat John the Baptist coming. That's the dilemma we find ourselves in as Christian men. You and I can't change a new world order that's already prophesied by God, or we'd be fighting against God. We couldn't stop John the Baptist coming. He says he's coming, he comes. You find him in Isaiah 40, 760 years prior to Jesus Christ, one crying in the wilderness, and the Bible says he's coming. And so my question to you is, what do you feel the position of the Christian should be in light of that?
Well, we can't stop the Lord. You're right. We can't stop the New World Order from coming. We can't. You're absolutely correct. However, we are given free will, okay? And there can be an awakening, okay? And only God knows, okay? Not even the Son knows when this rapture is going to occur or, when the end comes. And, you know, there can be an awakening. The problem is that Christians today are content with their nice little homes, their nice little car. They dress up and they put on a good show. You know, a lot of pastors around the country today, they put on a good show, okay? And, you know, what, Lord, 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 didn't I do this? Didn't I do this? And what's Jesus say? Depart from me, I never knew you, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a good show. Like I said, we should be concerned, and we can have an awakening in this country. And if you truly are an American and you're concerned with what's going on in this country, nothing's coming out of these churches today. Nothing that's worthwhile, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we're having our little church functions, and you know, no truth is really being taught from the pulpit. At least the churches that I've attended. And I believe Christians should be standing up. We should be furious, and we should take back our country, and we should have an awakening in this country, and we should be prepared for this coming New World Order, and there should be more said and more done by Christians in our communities and in our society today. This supporting of abortion, homosexuality, is disgusting. And allowing what's happening, we're just ignorant. You know, it's just like the school shooting that happened in Newtown, Connecticut, which really touched me, really upset me, seeing children murdered like that. Even though we're not 100% sure it occurred the way that the press, because the press, the corporate media, it's a puppet show. You know, we can't help.
Before we go down that side trail, I want to say thank you. Let me stop you there because you made your point. It's a good point, and I think you're right. We as citizens need to do more. We can't legislate morals, okay? And so with that, I want to reach out to Andrew and Brother Andrew, the same question to you that I asked Brother Joseph. What do you feel? And you know, we can't go too long because there's just not enough of time, but I want to give you a fair time. And so my question to you, Brother Andrew, is what do you feel that the Christian's position should be in light of this coming of this new world order?
All right, that's a very good question, and I have an answer, I believe, for you all there. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord's word. We're not saved by our works that we do. We're saved by the faith. And that's what we must have, is a faith in the word. Now, there are churches out there that I know, I go to one that preaches not just surface stuff, but our pastor, Kenny Compton, preaches the deep things, like what's being said tonight. Yes, there is a world order and coming up, and I could go into that politically and mention names, but I won't do that. You see, I have the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that when he comes, when we go, then the tribulation will start, and if you think we're going through things now, there's nothing. The women better go run to the mountains and hide in the rocks or something like that who are pregnant. But like I say, is be steadfast, immovable, all of us, all Christians across this nation, abounding in his word. And what I mean by that is doing his word. Put it to use. Like my wife and I, every morning we get up, we have morning devotions. You see, and I and that brings us through the whole day. There's nobody perfect. There was only one perfect that walked this earth, was Jesus Christ. And I mentioned this earlier, that the cross has to be preached on so people can understand. Now, I have an outside ministry on the streets since 2005. And the way God showed me to do it, most people run up to people in the streets and they say, from what their pastors have taught them to say, be bold for Christ. Be bold, but use wisdom. And my wisdom is I bring two chairs, I sit them down, one next, if someone wants to sit, I don't push what I believe on anyone until they come to me and they want prayer and we talk. And about a month and a half ago, listen to this, a family of five Muslims not dressed in their garb came to one of the places that I was at, and they heard me sing the old Rugged Cross. They came and parked their van next to me, okay? Then they came, the whole family, one little girl about 15 and a boy about, I'd say about 13 and a younger one. And they weren't dressed in the Muslim garb. They were from Indiana, and they were running away from what the Muslims believed. They were from Pakistan originally. They've been here 10 years. Keep your eyes and ears open, people across this nation. If you're that Christian that you say you are, you can bring them to the Lord through him, not through you. Keep your eyes open and your ears when people talk. Prayer is the big thing. The prayer will bring things around. It's bringing this country around right now. And I'm not discoursing the fact that the world government is out to. Boy, do I know a lot about them. But the first thing we must do is put our faith in Jesus Christ, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in his word. And let me tell you, folks, you're going to have a new, beautiful life that you never thought of before, that you didn't think possible. So God bless you, and I thank you two guys for giving your dissertation. It was wonderful. And we live in a country that's a wonderful country that we have the right to say what we want to say. So go back to you, Joseph. Peter, yeah. And,
all right, Andrew, thank you. Don't leave us, brother.
Okay, I won't.
Brother DL, I'm bringing you in the end, and I'm going to let Joe talk a little bit. But, Louis, what do you think the same question, you know, what in light of the New World Order coming, and I think Joe's focus this evening is to, you know, he's saying that Christians are sleeping, they're lulling in a lull under this satanic spiritual spirit of slumber, and they need to wake up. And it's really so my question to you is the same question I said to Joe, and I think it's only fair. And then I'd like to get to DL, but I want to know what is your position? What do you believe briefly? What is your position?
Yeah,
should a Christian do now that we're headed for the end times?
Well, two things. Brother Paul very clearly said we are to avoid dissensions among the brethren and avoid legalisms. There are many questions, such as raptures and should we eat pork and, you know, other things, which, you know, cause, you know, discussion and dissension within the church. We are to be true to doctrine, yes, but we had it very careful that we don't take it, you know, to the extent that it excludes and fellowship and it becomes a bad testimony before the world. And as far as, you know being you know many Christians not being aware, well, you know, in the Matthew 24 it said, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they're eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and knew not till the flood came and took all of them away, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, it's, we know that we live in a very hard world, one that is difficult, you know, to feed the families and to keep peace in the families and you know, to be a good believer. And that is a number one responsibility that we have. As I said before, we are to be that city on the hill, which the light cannot be hidden from. We're supposed to be that candle on the candlestand in the middle of the room, that just one little flickering light will light up the whole world.
Amen.
And that is our testimony and our destiny and what we are called to do. So let's try to avoid the dissensions and the great things that divide us. One of my wonderful friends here has been led to believe that believing a pre-trib rapture is a demonic and the devil's work. And so whenever I meet him and talk to him, we have to be careful not to discuss those things. A whole lot of other stuff we can discuss in fellowship. But we have to avoid
amen.
The stuff that
amen.
Causes the blood pressure to rise, you know? So
well,
that was my
amen.
Answer to you.
I mean, I think your basic doctrine, you know, and Joe and I and DL and mm-hmm. Andrew, and we've said this
yeah.
before, you know, you could write the basic doctrine of the Bible
mm-hmm.
on a book of matches. You know, there's
yeah.
there's a whole
yeah.
lot to disagree with and a whole lot not to disagree,
mm-hmm.
but I never want to get to the attitude where I just agree to disagree just because we're going to, you know, I don't believe truth is relevant, and I believe truth is,
mm-hmm.
The first principle of truth is the law of non-contradiction. B cannot not be,
mm-hmm.
a rose cannot not be. It's self-evident
mm-hmm.
that you are. And so while we may disagree on minor things, I don't think it's possible to disagree on the major doctrines of the Bible. And
well,
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
yes,
but,
no,
but stuff
that.
That is not really important to our salvation right. and important to bring out the Christian message and our witness, then we can have disagreements among other things. You know,
true,
and that's
true,
fine.
But in the over, thank you, brother, and I appreciate that, and I agree with
yeah.
you. In the overall context, you know, and the reason why I didn't feel that the last time Joe was on, he really didn't get a full
and
complete opportunity to say some things, and you know, Joe's a well-educated mm-hmm. man in this thing, and as far as the world order, you know, New World Order and those things, and what's going on in the country, and he's quite a politician and quite a philosopher, and so, you know, I like to hear from him, and I like to hear from everybody, but right now I want to turn over to Brother D.L., And I would ask Brother D.L. the same thing, and I think that, and I don't want us to get us off track here. I don't want to get off track of what we're saying, because Joe stayed on point with what he believed that Christians ought to be doing, and we don't want to get off track. And so what I'm asking you, D.L., is what do you think a Christian stand should be? Here we are today. We're in 2013. We see the formation of the New World Order as prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your position? What do you believe that Christian men and women and young children and older and teenagers should be doing right now?
Well, we should be begotten people through the truth of God's Word, teaching them how to live right, to live holy, to walk upright before God, to get in the Word and study to show our self-approval. Workmen that need not to be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. That's what we should be doing. We should not be building churches. We should be building people. We should be taking this truth of God that we hold so dearly in our lives, and we should be walking in the community, implementing it to the lives of others. For those people who cannot get to church, to those people who cannot drive a car, to those people who would never set foot in the sanctuary, we should take the gospel to them. We should be more steadfast, not be comfortable where we're at, or that we may have fire insurance, so to speak. But we should take this message of that the Lord has entrusted us with as preachers of the gospel and take it in the community and allow them to become a wildfire out there. That way, people can stand the wrath that is to come, those things that come up in their lives and stuff. You know, what about the tribulation? Well, I just feel like this. What good is me knowing about a tribulation if I can't handle the tribulations I'm going through at home? Or I can't handle the tribulations that I'm going through when I walk into a church by other so-called Christians. See, we have to teach people to be able to be endured, to be strong men, women of God. You understand what I'm saying? And then when we're faced with such a so-called New World Order or the fiery darts of the wicked one, we can stand because we know we have the whole armor of God. So that's just basically my stance.
Amen, amen. Okay, and I thank you. Now, the extraordinary thing that Joe said, which I found extraordinary, and is he said, well, you know, all Christians, according to Joe's position, is that we're all participating in the New World Order, and we're all supporting a New World Order intentionally or not. Intentionally or not. And I don't think anybody directly answered that.
No, they didn't. And,
okay.
You know, like, and I thank you for pointing that out. And I like what that brother just said, DL, there. You know, we should have the whole armor of God, you know, and be prepared, you know. And, you know, like I said, Christians talk the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And you and I had this conversation, Peter, and I'm not trying to analyze this one little thing, but I'm listening to a pastor preach. And he's talking about this guy smoking a cigarette. That filthy sinner. But meanwhile, he's sipping on a Diet Coke. How they perish for lack of knowledge. There's more chemicals in a Diet Coke than there is in a cigarette, okay? So he doesn't know what he's talking about, okay? Whether you believe it or not, you can look it up.
I get it, but I know this much. You know, this goes back to the old story. We're all men, and God have called sinners to repentance. And you know, the Lord told that lady that they brought an accusation of adultery, and told her, the Lord said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Now, you know darn well that she's going to sin again because it's in her human nature. But the Lord said, go and sin no more. Was it because he didn't know any better? Of course not. He knew she was going to sin. But the Lord said, purpose in your heart not to sin. That's what the Lord was saying. Purpose in your heart not to sin. And if you do sin, get it right with the Lord. Keep a short account. Okay? And so we have to purpose in our hearts as Christians to our first commander, and is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our commander in general. And then we follow his first commandment, which is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the first business of every Christian. The first business. And so if we could take our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ and we start putting it on certain world events and things that are going on around the world, what happens is Satan takes advantage of the Christians by distracting them in such a manner. There was a fellow who wrote the Christian Digest in England. His name is Colin Tyler. And every month he started putting in these articles about the New World Order. And then, you know, one day he said, you know, the Lord put it on his heart that this is not the commandment of God, that he'll write about it here and there, but the focus of his life cannot be on it. The focus of his life must be Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel.
I got a question. I have a question, Peter, for Brother Alex. His church, because, you know, he took a little nest. Stab at me there about the, you know, he goes to a good church that preaches. Is your church a 501c3 church? Is he still with us?
Probably not.
Who's that?
But
yes.
But But I understand where you're going. I understand where you're going. I really don't want to go there with that. But I understand. Is it a 501c? Yeah, you're participating with the government. Hey, listen, you buy cigarettes, you pay taxes. You buy soda, you pay taxes. You use electricity, you pay for the bill. Somebody's paying for it. It's going to the government. It's going to taxes. It's all part of the system. Let's not kid each other. Everybody's part of the system.
That's correct. You're absolutely correct, Peter, and I won't disagree with you there, and I understand where you're going with that. However,
but I have to go, Joe. I have to go. It's 7:24, and I have to roll out, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you, because I really appreciate it. Hey, listen, we can do this again down the road sometime. You know, the program Sound Doctrine, and we want to, you know, the intent of Enterprise Media and Nathan on the Spot and Brother Brown was that we would have an opportunity to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel in sound doctrine, that things that people are not getting in the church today, without compromise, without nilly-willy, not trying to give anybody a fuzzy-wuzzy. You know, you come and listen to the teaching. We're going to give you the Word of God straight up. It's not going to be watered down. You're not going to have to wonder what we're talking about. We're going to show it to you. The Bible interprets itself. We're not going to go back to any so-called original manuscripts. We're not going to commentaries. We're going to take the Word from the Word of God, and that's what this program was designed to do. And so every now and then we like to give the listeners a little a variety, and we like to give them a break from their hard study, and so that they can listen to programs like this. And we'll do this again somewhere down the road. I have a program I'm trying to work on right now. It involves the Christian motorcycle groups out in the San Diego area, and other groups who have chaplains that are ministering. These are groups, Christian groups. They don't drink and they don't smoke, but they're bikers and they go out for Christ. And I'm trying to get all those chaplains together, the VFW Motorcycle Club, and bring them all together for a show one night, and we could hear what they do and how they do it. And, you know, I want to give a variety. But the primary purpose of the show is to bring sound doctrine to Christian men and women and children. And so I want to thank you this evening, Brother Joseph, for taking your time and for expressing your profound opinions, Brother Lewis, and Brother Andrew, and Brother D.L., and I appreciate the time that you've taken. I know that, you know, on the East Coast, it's after 10 o'clock at night, and you've had a hard day's work. Out here, I'm still working on 7:30, so... But we love you all. I'd like to give an opportunity. I'd just like to say that if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're going through a trial or a tribulation or a hard time in your life, you know, we're all going through things in our lives, and I don't believe that anything happens in this world unless God allows it or He makes it happen. And for whatever reason, you're listening to this program tonight, and you can still call in on 347-945-5416. Somebody will be at the station, or you can call me direct on my number, and I'd be glad to talk with you. But if you need Jesus Christ, and you know everybody needs Jesus Christ, we're all sinners, and sin is an eternal penalty, and you cannot pay it. When people say to me, Peter, you're a narrow-minded bigot, you think your way is the only way. Well, there is another way, and the way is called hell. God doesn't force anybody to love him. But I believe nothing happens unless God allows it or makes it. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You know, take his yoke upon him. You don't have to carry this burden alone. The Lord will carry it. You're not as strong. You know, one time the story is a young boy was in a hole digging a ditch with his dad, and there was a giant rock, and the father kept watching him, and the boy kept pushing and pushing, and he finally said, Dad, I can't do this. And the father said, did you use all your strength? And he said, yes, I did. He said, no, you didn't, because you didn't call on me. And I'm telling you that God wants to reach out to you. God is not this all-powerful God who's waiting to whack you in the head. He says in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And God wants to reason with you. Now, if you go to the cross of Jesus Christ, and you just ask Jesus Christ, you know you're a sinner, you got to change what you're doing, you know you need to come to the Lord, you need to get that sin issue correct tonight. Just go to the Lord and say, Father, I'm a sinner, and I repent. I change my mind. I'm walking away from that sin. I'm walking in another direction, and I'm coming to you, Lord. And I believe you died for my sins, and you rose on the third day, and you're sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And, Lord Jesus, I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life, and I accept you in my heart. And if you really prayed that and you believe that in your heart, I'd love to hear from you, 203-240-0377. And if you... If you need any literature, we can get you a little bit of literature. And we just want to thank you all. Brother D.L., I want to thank you for making a special time out of the day to come on tonight and to assist us and to
Amen.
Be there. Brother Nathan, I want to thank you. And the Lord bless you. And everybody have a good evening. Thank you, listeners. And we'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Lord bless you.
Never forsake, no.